everyone. Thanks for joining the Houston Young Adults Podcast. Make sure to follow us on all our socials at Houston Young Adults. Thanks for tuning in.
What's up, young adults? Courtney Garcia here. I'm excited to bring the word with you. I feel like it's been a while, but I have lots of scriptures to share today, and just something that the Lord kind of dropped in me as I was in prayer earlier. And honestly, don't know how to title this. It kind of has a wordy title, but I'll explain it to you before we kind of jump into these scriptures. And I have six things. Maybe we'll talk about five to kind of keep it even or whatever. But I jotted down six scriptures for us to look at. And I was just noticing that there was pairs in the Bible in scriptures that that we can draw from the word first and foremost. And these are things that we can always bank on the Lord providing for us. That means that he never runs out of these things that we're going to talk about. That means that these are things that are already provided for us. The Bible talks about how God has an eternal supply and how his riches are endless and they're limitless. And so the things that God has for us, we never have to do without them. We can receive them and know that they're a part of our salvation. They're a part of our redemption. They're a part of our redemption package. Every benefit that has been redeemed for us and purchased for us by the blood of Jesus at the cross on Calvary and with his resurrection has been given to us. And so we have to know that there's things provided for us already that have been purchased for us, that have been laid out on the table for us to take, for us to receive, and for us to experience in our life. We don't have to beg for them. We don't have to cry and hope that we'll get them. These are things that when we come to the Lord, the Bible says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, all who are in need. And we have to come to the Lord daily in need of that freshness. The Bible says that every day his mercies are new, every morning. That means that there is never an expiration on the things that God has for us. We can come to him. We can come to the table of the Lord daily, and we must come to him. We must always remember that I must come to him. I must be in need of what God provides and receive it fresh daily. We don't have to beg for it. We just come and receive. And so that's what we do. And so I want to talk about six things, and I'm calling them like biblical pairs, but things that we can always bank on the Lord providing us. And so there, you'll see that there's pairs. It'll be two things in one scripture that God provides for us. And I want you to know these scriptures like the back of your palm. And so let's go to the first one in Psalm 23, verse 1. Psalm 23, verse 1, and I'm flipping to it, even though I know it by heart. I'm just going to read it out directly from the word, because I'm in a different translation that I normally don't read in. Okay, Psalm 23, verse 6. The Bible says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So the first biblical pair that we're going to talk about how the Lord has already provided for us, and therefore all we need to do is just receive it, believe it, and experience it in our lives, is goodness and mercy. It's talking about the goodness of God here. It's talking about the mercy of God. You can bank on God's goodness always being a part of your life. The Bible says it's going to follow you every day of your life. Surely goodness will follow me. Surely mercy will follow me. That means God's goodness for your life never runs out. God's mercies upon your life will never run out. We need to get that so on the inside of us, in that if there is anything that comes your way, you know it's going to end in goodness. I don't know how it's going to end in goodness. I can't explain it from what I'm seeing in the current circumstances, but surely God's goodness follows me all the days of my life. So I know that just like the word says, that all things work together for the good for those that love God. And so get that on the inside of you, that only God's goodness will follow you. What's ahead for you? What's ahead for 2024? Only goodness, the goodness of God, only the mercies of God shall follow you all the days of your life. What is the mercy of God? The mercy of God is undeserved, is receiving from God what you don't deserve. You might not deserve the things that he puts in your life. You might not have earned it by you know, doing the things that the world does to get where they need to go. But by the mercy of God, he knows how to get where you need to go, put you in the right place that you need to be so that he can promote you, that he can increase you, that he can do the mighty work that he has in store for you. It's by the mercy of God that we're still standing. I love that scripture that says it is by God's mercies that we have not been consumed. Great is his faithfulness. It's surely because of the Lord's mercies that you have not been destroyed, that you have not been brought to despair in your life. It's because of the goodness of God that will always come to turn around any situation, that you can know that, man, my future is going to hold goodness, and I know the mercies of God always keeps me, that I'm never going to be consumed. Amen. So that's the first pair I wanted to talk about, Psalm 23, verse 6. Let's go to the next one in Psalm 112, verse 3. Psalm 112, verse 3. Praise God. It says here, wealth and riches shall be in his house. Whose house? Well, it's talking about in this psalm, the righteous person, which that's you. If you are born again in Christ Jesus, if you are a new creature in Christ, you're a righteous man, you're a righteous woman. And so the Bible says that wealth and riches shall be in your house, and your righteousness shall endure forever. And so the second pair I want to talk about is wealth and riches. This is something that you've got to see in the word of God for yourself. Turn to Psalm 112, verse 3, and speak this over your life. Wealth and riches shall be in my house. Receive it by faith. What does that mean when you receive something by faith? The word receive in the original language means to take. To take. When you take something, you put your hand on it, you grab it, and you grasp it, and you hold it, and you pull it to yourself, and now it's yours. Now you take ownership of it. Now you possess it in your own. Now it's in your hands. I take that. And so that's when you take something by faith, you believe it so much that now it becomes yours. And so you might say, wealth and riches, they are not in my house. You look around your house. You might be in a one bedroom apartment. You might be in just a little square. You might be renting a bedroom. I don't know where you're living. I don't know what your house looks like. I don't know where you've come from, but I know from the word of God where it says you're going. And the Bible says that wealth and riches are in your house. And I want you to get that mental picture on the inside of you and receive it by faith. Grab a hold of this. When I saw this scripture, I started speaking that over my house. Guess what? I didn't even have a house at the time. I was living in an apartment. I was believing for a house. And then the Lord blessed us with a home. And now I'm watching the Lord fill our home with wealth and riches. We're seeing the word of God manifested in our lives as we claim it, as we receive it, and as we speak it over our lives. And so as the righteous person, you know that wealth and riches shall be in your house. That means you're going to have plenty. That means you're going to have way more than enough to meet every one of your needs and then be a blessing to others. That's a pair that you can bank on that the Lord's going to provide and manifest in your life as you take this word seriously. Wealth and riches shall be in your house. Let's go to the third scripture in Haggai chapter 2, verse 9. And I'm going to go to the Amplified Classic Version. Haggai 2, verse 9. Amen. I'll scroll past it. It says, the latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace and prosperity, says the Lord of hosts. So the third thing we're going to talk about that are joined together is peace along with prosperity. Peace, the Bible describes, is shalom, which means nothing missing and nothing broken. That means utter completeness. It means wholeness. The Bible says that Jesus came to bring us wholeness. He came to make us whole. He came to bring peace to us. And so this peace that comes in our relationship with Christ Jesus is wholeness in your life. It's restoration. It's the restoration of all things broken in your life coming together. And you got to know that peace in your mind, peace in your heart are things from the Lord, and they are yours forever and ever and evermore. What Jesus gives you, the world can never take away. So nothing can rob your peace. Nothing can remove you from the peace of God. You never have to fight for peace. You never have to beg for peace. You never have to try to find peace in your life when you're in Christ Jesus. Peace is within you. He says, peace I give you, peace I leave with you. And so that peace is yours, and it's the wholeness that comes with our salvation. And not only does he give you peace, the Bible says in the scripture, peace and prosperity. So it's the latter glory of this house. So that means the new covenant, what we look forward to in our new relationship with Christ Jesus, in this New Testament salvation that we've received, is it's totally greater than what was former. He not only gives us peace, but he gives us prosperity. Prosperity is not you being able to get your favorite handbag, you getting, you know, your favorite car, whatever it is. You will get blessed with all of that. It's not just material things. It's being so blessed that you can not only meet your needs and meet your wants and fulfill the enjoyments and pleasures of life, but you will also be able to be a blessing to your generation. It's you being so blessed that you have more than enough to not only to meet your needs, but to meet the needs of mankind. There is prosperity for those in Christ Jesus. There is a blessing that comes upon those that are in covenant with Christ Jesus. And so you got to know that he has blessed me. He has ensure that in every season I will prosper. That means that no matter what the economy is doing, I don't have to worry about this economy. When I'm in covenant with Christ Jesus, there's a prosperity that comes along with it. And so peace and prosperity shall be your portion for those in Christ Jesus. The fourth scripture I want to go to is in Psalm 84, verse 11. Psalm 84, verse 11. Our fourth pair. Oop, passed it up. This is a huge Bible, so there's a lot of Psalms all on one page. Okay, it says, verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield, and the Lord will give you grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly. So again, it's talking about the righteous person, those who walk uprightly here. And it says that the Lord will give. He is the giver of grace and glory. And there's not one good thing that he will withhold from those who walk uprightly. So the fourth thing we're going to talk about is grace and glory. God is the giver of grace. He's the grace giver. He's the grace dispenser. And so what that means, what is the grace of God? Well, we talked about the mercy of God is receiving from God what you don't deserve. Grace is, I think I might have said this wrong now that I'm saying it. Grace is receiving from God what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Okay, so I apologize if you heard the first part of this. I didn't correct it up there. But mercy is you not getting what you do deserve. So God withholds punishment. He withholds judgment, and he withholds destruction. And he basically sets up, the mercy of God is God setting up a barrier between the things that should happen to your life and you. It's because of the mercies of God that you have not been consumed. Okay. So now I said it wrong. So now we know the mercies of God is God withholding from you what you do deserve, but the grace of God is you receiving from the Lord what you don't deserve. And so that's the grace of God, is God coming upon your life in such a mighty way and putting his fingerprint on your life. It's God empowering you with the divine empowerment that can only come from God, that sets you high above all the nations of the earth. It's the empowerment. It's divine empowerment. It's divine strength. And let me tell you, we can't take the grace of God lightly. We can't poo-poo it. The Bible says, let's not receive the grace of God in vain. We've got to receive it and understand that this gift that he gives us, the grace of God, is for results. It's for production. It's to put you at another level. And so we need the grace of God daily. That's one of the prayers I pray the most, is fresh grace for the day. I want God's grace freshly on my life daily. And so I make sure that, hey, he's not withholding one good thing. What's a good thing? Grace. And so he gives us grace. And what comes along with grace is the glory of God. He showers his glory upon you. The Bible says, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. God puts the glory of God in your life while he works, while he does things, while the grace of God, while you're working in the grace of God, the glory of God is seen upon you. Because let me tell you, when you're working and flowing in the grace of God, it's going to look like you're supernaturally doing things. It's not going to look like you're doing things in your own strength. That's why Paul said, it was not I, but it was the grace of God that allowed me to work harder than them all, but not without results. And so it's the glory of God that's seen upon your life. And so he gives you grace and glory upon your life. And you got to know that those are the things that come from the Lord, and go to him daily to receive of his grace and to receive of the glory of the Lord. Amen. Let's go to Matthew 3, verse 11. And we might end here. Matthew 3, verse 11. Man, where is Matthew 3? Here we go. Okay. Matthew 3, verse 11. It says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. So this is John the Baptist talking. He says, I'm going to baptize you with water, but there's a mighty one. A mighty one. Jesus, the mighty one, who's coming after me, who I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. And it says, he shall baptize you. So Jesus shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So say Holy Ghost and fire. That's the fifth thing we're going to talk about, is Holy Ghost and fire. That's the pair that comes. When you get the Holy Ghost, it comes with a fire. And it ends up talking about this fire a little bit more in the next verse. It says, whose fan is in his hand, and he thoroughly purges his floor and gathers his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So it talks about how the Holy Ghost has a role here to use a fan that sweeps the floor and he purges things. And so the Holy Ghost in your life comes with his fire, and he sweeps away the things that gotta go in your life. He purges your floor so that your floor is cleansed. Your spiritual life, your life is purged from the chaff. He separates the chaff, which is the bad stuff, the dross, the things that have to go in your life, and he separates the good from the bad. And it says that his fire comes upon those things and burns it up. He sets the things that are eternal in your life ablaze. And that's why the Bible says all that will be shaken shall be shaken. And it's going to come with a consuming fire, for God is a consuming fire. And so there's going to be a fire that will last, that will not burn up the things that can't be consumed, the things that can't be shaken, the things that are of God. The things that are of God will burn and burn and burn with the fire of God, and they can stand the fire of God because they've been tried by fire, they've been tested by fire, and they've been purified. And then the things that have to go, the dross, the things that we just don't need and want in our life, the things that are holding us back, though, that's chaff, and the Holy Ghost will take care of that by the fire of God. And so the Holy Ghost and fire come together to do a work on the inside of us that only the Holy Ghost can do. And so we need to be people that desire the Holy Ghost, that draw from the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that just like a good father that will never withhold anything that we ask of him, how much more will he not give the Holy Ghost to those who ask? And so we don't have to beg. We don't have to wait like some people think we have to wait, like the day of Pentecost. That the Holy Ghost has come, and so we receive him by asking the Father to freshly fill us by faith. When receive the Holy Ghost and the fire of God, we receive it by hunger, and we receive it by faith. Amen. And so this provision has been given to every single believer. We can bank on always being able to be freshly filled with the Holy Ghost and the fire of God. Hallelujah. And then the last thing, we'll just do it. We'll just go there. Nehemiah 8:10. We'll end here. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." So it doesn't say joy and strength here, but I wanted to throw this one in, because joy and strength are something that we can always bank on the Lord providing for us. The Bible says that this joy that I have given you, no one can take it away. So there's a joy that comes in our new life in Christ Jesus that has been deposited on the inside of us. Again, we don't have to go search for it. We don't have to go and try to muster up joy. Happiness in life that people will experience will be fleeting. It's going to be temporary. But there's a joy that's eternal. There's a joy of our salvation the Bible talks about. And so this joy is on the inside of us. It's been deposited in our spirits. The Bible says, with joy, we withdraw from the wells of our salvation. So our salvation is likened to a well. And so we just gotta tap into it by joy. We have the joy of God resident on the inside of us, and we have to receive of the Lord. We have to receive of that joy and tap into that joy. And the Bible says the joy of the Lord, which we have, strengthens us. And so along with joy comes strength. Joy and strength come hand in hand. The Bible says that in his presence there is fullness of joy, and at his right hands there are pleasures forevermore. And so there's a strength that comes upon your life as you're in his presence. There's a joy, a supernatural joy that comes upon your life when you spend time in the presence of the Lord. Spend time in prayer, spend time in the word, and spend time in his presence. For the joy shall come, it shall spring forth in a mighty way from your spirit, and it results in strength in your life. And so with these things, I hope this encourages you to know that, okay, I've got all of these things. He's provided for them, provided these things for me, and I can bank on having these things in my life all the days of my life: goodness and mercy, wealth and riches, peace and prosperity, grace and glory, Holy Ghost and fire, and joy and strength. And with that, just hearing about all that, that's everything the Lord gives us. And there's so much more. Those are just pairs that I picked out from the scriptures. God is so good. He gives us good things. The Bible says he fills our life with good things. I love all those things. Those are all things that every single person in this world desires, and you have them resident on the inside of you. It's a reason to rejoice. It's a reason to open up your mouth and thank the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. So take these scriptures, bank on seeing them in your life, receive them by faith, and don't settle for anything but these things. plus everything else that God has for you. And I promise you, this is going to be the greatest year when you believe and receive that these things should be in your life and that you're going to experience them no matter what, because I don't have to wait for them. I don't have to beg for them. I can receive them by faith. I can tap into them right now because they live on the inside of me. Whew, you're going to feel good. You're going to feel so much better. That situation that's bugging you right now, that's tripping you up, that's keeping you down, just by tapping into what God has already given you and done for you in your life by these things, it's going to turn your frown upside down. Amen. So I hope this blesses you. I'll see you at the next Young Adult service. Love you guys. Bye-bye.
Hey everyone, thanks for joining the Houston Young Adults Podcast. Make sure to follow us on all our socials at Houston Young Adults. Thanks for tuning in.